Fast of Eye. Good afternoon. Welcome to Allen Line. As we edge closer and closer to TT, just how many? 3 short weeks. 2 weeks away. Crikey, 2 weeks away. This coming weekend and the Platinum Jubilee Bank holidays. 3 weeks this Thursday and Friday. Then it's half term for the schools. Back into TT, Timwell Day, August bank holiday. Soon be Christmas, won't it? Work to rebuild the damaged sunken gardens on the prom won't be completed before TT. The leader of Douglas Borough Council, Claire Wells, said it's unlikely it's going to be, but it's going to be tidy. Criticism was levelled at the state of the prom, in part due to extensive storm damage last year. Jill's first on. Hi, Jill.
Oh, hello, Andy. As he's just speaking about the sunken gardens, I'm looking after little Ivy Grace today, my 2-year-old, and I've just come back from town, and I do miss the sunken gardens so much because I feel safe there. The week before last, I got her a bucket and spay because there's no children's area, you see. And we went on the beach and the dog came pounding up to us and scared my little Ivy Grace and me. So we decided not to go on the beach ever again. And then last week, we went along the prom and I got a lovely pink ball. And this massive dog came and got the ball, punctured it. And Ivy was screaming. And so do we not have any law where maybe big dogs could be on the leash? Anyway, I've just come back from town because I've got little Ivy Grace. Spent a fortune in the Strand Shopping Centre to let her go on the rocket. And because there's nothing really we can do. I couldn't get in the Villa Marina Gardens because they were hosing down the pavement. It was blocked up with barricades. So it's dire straits, really. And I'd really like, I was thinking about what was said on the news. I'd like to say to Claire, please don't say, I haven't got a magic wand. It makes us feel like we're not loved. I mean, I know lots of Polish girls. Our babies have been in 3 lockdowns. And we used to sit in the communal area, in the playing area. And we gradually get the children introduced to other children. I met a Spanish lady who'd been in lockdown all on her own, and she was so happy to see another child.
Well, the bylaw is from the 1st of May to the 30th of September, dogs aren't permitted on the beach between 10 and 6. I mean, from the steps opposite Switzerland Road, I think,
right.
They're not allowed. Dogs aren't there between 10 and
dogs.
6.
Don't get me wrong, but we have to go on the beach because we have no play area, yeah. You see. And so I thought last week, I'll go along the prom. And the owner was so, so nice and took us for an ice cream. But Ivy's petrified now of going anywhere near the beach.
Well, obviously now the play area by the sunken gardens isn't in operation anymore as well. So that kind of socialising facility is gone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And also I have a blind friend and we go through the sunken gardens. She's on her own in Douglas. We have no gardens here in Douglas. And so what do we all do after lockdown? I just feel a bit sad that Claire said we have no magic wand. Because my guardian angels had a couple of magic wands when the dogs came up to us and they looked after us. But they might be running out.
I wonder. I mean, whereabouts? Do you live in Lower Douglas or Upper Douglas, Jill?
I live right in the middle, near the Taj Mahal.
Okay. Because obviously in Upper Douglas, there are parks there. There is, the park in Derby Square.
Drive.
Oh, I see. And it is a bit of a walk up to Derby Square.
Yeah, and my elderly friends don't drive either. We often go to the sunken gardens. And it's lovely for the blind people. You know, they can smell the flowers and that. And I just think it's a little bit sad that she said we don't have a magic wand. It's like they're not caring. They didn't need to say that. They should say we're trying our best. But, you know, these little children have been in lockdown and they're shy. They're people shy. So, you know, is it? And for people who say, if you don't like it, get the next boat. Well, my little granddaughter, she's Manx. She's Manx, born and bred. Manx parents. So can she not have a play area? She'll be going to nursery soon. So, you know, it's just a bit sad that there's nothing for the children. I see lots of little children and prams, and it would be so nice if we could just sit there like we used to, just get the play area open.
And that's a good point, the fact that the sunken gardens aren't just to gaze at and to, you know, to wonder. They are a socialising area. Well, the whole place, I mean,
important.
All of the gardens from almost at the bottleneck, from there up, the gardens are for socialising and for chilling
very
out.
Much so. And I've looked after a lot of very elderly here. I've been taking them meals and that. And that's their little, they get a taxi there and we meet up in the sunken gardens. You know, they're on about mental health awareness. We're not always on the internet or something, a bit stream driven, a lot of my friends. But we have our little bits to go, little nooks and crannies where we meet up. And it's a silent mental awareness. Mm-hmm. And for these poor little Polish girls, they don't have cars either. But the husbands have the cars to go to work. And we integrate. We meet up in the play area. And they're going to open the horse trams a couple of weeks before they close again. Aren't they?
Okay. All right, Jill, we appreciate your call. Thanks for calling
Thank
today.
Thank you very much. I hope they get it sorted soon.
All right.
Thank
well, that's it. Yes, the rule is from the 1st of May to the 30th of September, dogs aren't permitted on the beach in Douglas from 10 until 6. Howard's with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. Just listen to that lady. I agree 100% with her because I looked at the news headlines on Manx Radio website and I thought, how facetious of that Claire Wells. That she's more or less calling the public idiots. And I do not have a magic wand. Don't bother me. I'm busy doing something. And those gardens have been knocked down. The walls have been knocked down since last December. And she's talking about we don't want to pay for it twice. And this is all excuses. And that's all you get. And they're lame excuses. And the walls could have been up and built now. And if the insurance claim that they're assuming they're going to get comes in, so well and good. But they should be looking after the town. And that is what we pay our rates for. And that Claire Wells, I'm lost for words for her because that is treating the people here as a total idiots, and it's getting to the point where the town hall is a waste of space.
It will be nice, Howard. I'm a big lover of facts and figures. I like brass tacks. And the fact is, if they'd said, look, to mend the sunken gardens, it's going to cost, I don't know, £40,000, and to replace the children's play area, it's going to cost this. At least we'd know. But the fact is, just saying, well, we might not do it, and there's an insurance claim, and it's all to do with the DOI putting the seawall back. I think an absence of facts, people start rumours and people make their own mind up.
Well, listening to her interview this morning, it sounds as though they don't even intend to put a stone wall back up. It sounds like it's going to be a concrete wall, which would detract totally from the essence of the gardens. The gardens have stone walls, and that has been there since 1937 when they were built. And that stone would have been quarried locally. Now, the question is, what have they done with it? Where is it? Because you're not going to get continuity of structure by having a patch of stone wall, then a patch of concrete wall. It's going to look disgusting. And people are going to come along and laugh at it. And they say, bring in the clowns. No, we don't need to. We got the town council looking after it. And that's what's happening. They have not got a clue at the moment. And those gardens are a showpiece of Douglas. And what have they done? Left them. There's more barriers down there. I noticed the other day I was down at down at the amenity centre, and it looks like there's another trailer load of those zinc barriers, a full trailer load parked in the next section at the White Owl, and Lord knows where they plan to put them. But as Charles Gard said, the easiest thing is don't fix it, bury it. And this is what the town hall are doing. And that garden that the lady's talking about, the equipment only needs checking over again. It's the walls that have come down, and it could be made safe for the children. But no, they've decided it's the easiest and cheapest way is to ignore it and hoping it will go away and blame somebody else. But the lady said about the horse trams, and I phoned up late yesterday afterwards. On Saturday I was coming back, and they were moving tram horses from wherever they keep them during the winter to their fields in Blackberry Lane. Well, that's a reasonable sign that there's some movement. They had trailers there bringing the horses back to the fields that go from Summerhill Road up to Governor's Road, and that's where they normally keep the horses during the summer. But the town hall is, they should be abolished because they are absolutely useless. They're talking about £27,000 for putting second-hand lights up on South Quay. With nobody there, £40,000 for something else. They've allocated £20,000 for one night for a carnival, where a drunken spree on the promenade, and it's only going to be from the Sefton over, and they're talking about being on the walkway. So why do they need £20,000? They just don't know what to spend the money on, except the things that need it.
Okay, all right, Howard.
That's my rant over now. So, Claire Wells, get up off your backside and the rest of the council and have a look around town instead of that rose-coloured room you're sitting in.
All right, thanks, Howard.
Thanks, then.
All right, 19 minutes past 12. Work to rebuild the damaged sunken gardens on Douglas Brom won't be completed before TT, so says the leader of Douglas Borough Council, after criticism was levelled at the state of the Brom, how it had been left, in part due to extensive storm damage last year. Claire Wells, who's the leader of Douglas Council, says issues have built up during the pandemic. She spoke to our local democracy reporter, Sarah Hendy, and said, there's no magic wand.
We've had 2 years when we haven't been able to do anything, and now we're in a position where we can do things. And if you try and get somebody to do something, it's really, really difficult. So it's not like you can have this, you know, magic fairy that comes along and waves their wand and everything's magically painted and fixed. And, you know, it just doesn't happen that way. So, no, it's not going to be perfect, but we're doing our absolute best to make sure that it's safe. And that is the most important thing. And at some point in the future, hopefully soon, we'll be able to make it look pretty again. Realistically, it's not going to be before TT, but we'll do our absolute best to make sure that it's safe and as tidy as possible. Mm. What kind of thing can be done in the meantime? There's only so much that you can do. Short of, you know, bringing in half of Douglas to come in and rebuild the wall for us, it's just not going to happen in a hurry. And we also need to make sure that when we are rebuilding the wall and when we are doing the park, that we do it once and we do it right. So we had a meeting with our Douglas MHKs and Mr. Crookall and the council members on Friday, and we spoke about the seawall, which has been spoken about by the DOI, and our own flood defences, which are the, you know, the walls for the sunken gardens, and to try and ensure that we work together so that what we put in place is sufficient should they then be putting the seawall in place. And it's working together with them to make sure that that happens. I'm very keen to spend Douglas ratepayers' money once and do it right. I really don't want to be spending it and then come back in a year's time and find that actually, well, we need to now take it out and do it again because we haven't corresponded properly with the DOI or worked with them together to ensure that we put the solution in place first time.
Manx Radio also received a listener had put in a Freedom of Information request for an account of steps taken by the council after that damage was caused. The latest progress we're aware of is an interaction on the 12th of January. That's, you know, more than 4 months ago. What progress has been made since that point?
So the loss assessor has put his report in and that has gone to the insurers, and we're now working with them to conclude that report, and we're just waiting for the conclusion of that. And there are reports going to the various committees this coming week to see how we can progress it in anticipation of what that's going to come out as.
Juliet's with us now. Oh no, so we've got, let me see here, Ali. Hi, Ali.
Oh, hi. Hi, I was just going to say there that what Claire Wells just said about not paying for it twice, why change a habit of a lifetime? Majority of all these departments and things end up having to do things twice because they just don't confer enough about it with the people that actually carry the work out. But anyway, what I wanted to say was the promenade and all these other things, I think the people are sick and tired of all the excuses because everybody had a date, you know, when the lockdown was finishing. And all these people had plenty of notice to get, you know, to hit the ground running with all these things and start getting things back on track. So I think we're just fed up with all the excuses all the time. They got to stop using COVID and everything as an excuse because they had plenty of time to get things planned. So my own beef about Douglas, and I did actually speak to Charles when I saw him last week, and Charles, you know, he did the video. We went to the art exhibition, which is up in the villa, arcade, you know, up in the top.
Yeah.
And going through the grounds, they should actually be so ashamed of themselves, Douglas Corporation, the way they've let everything go. It's all too late to do it for the TT now, but they've got patches of brown soil in the grounds, the gardens, the grass. What they can do now is cut it out and re-turf it. They've got time to do that. The gardens themselves are an awful mess. There's hardly any plants in them. And then you come to the arcade. All the glazing, all the glass and everything is disgusting. The paintwork, the plasterwork, it's all disgusting. All they need to do is get a power washer on it, clean all the glass, just tidy things up a bit. And when you walk along, all those shops are all empty. Then you come to the little cafe where everybody sits outside. They've all got bits of paper or the windows are whitened up or something. It looks like a dead town. And then you go actually into the arcade itself, up to where we went to the exhibition. All those shops are empty. What are our guests for the TT and for, you know, all our other tourists going to think about Douglas?
You wonder, as you say, when people come here, and it may be that they're, you know, they may be a bit dazzled by the fact that there's a TT on for the first time in nearly 3 years. So they may overlook that. But as you say, remember us, we live here as well.
Yes.
And we see this.
You know, I think one of the things that annoyed me a few years ago was when you know, the TT was on. People think that they don't see these things, but they do. We had some friends that were over, and they, I mean, it's a horrible thing to say, but they were walking under the Villa Arcade, and they said, we were out early in the morning taking a walk underneath, and we actually had to move away because people had obviously been drinking, and they said it just stank of urine.
Right. Yeah.
Now, why didn't they get out and hose it down or something? Do you know, people do notice it. They really do, and it's. I'm ashamed, you know, as a local, I'm ashamed that this is what they're going to see.
What do you think?
No excuse.
Ali, what do you think of the prom?
Well, I mean, I'm part of a little heritage group here in the south, and we've been given an old book, and it's an old Isle of Man Examiner book, and it's dated photographs 1934, and it's got pages of when the promenade was actually built, you know, 1934. And all the dignitaries and everything. And they could actually teach them a thing or two, how it should be done, you know, because all these aspirations, they're not what the people want. It's just what some architect has seen in the UK somewhere, and you think, oh, that'll look good along the prom. But it's costing far too much for what we need. But
so what does your heritage group do, Ali?
Oh, well, there's a little plug for us. Russian Heritage Trust. We concentrate really on the heritage in the south, and we've had half a dozen exhibitions because we choose subjects like the women's internment camp, you know, Podair and Port St Mary. We've got Story of the Land, the Sea, you know, just going back through the years and getting the locals to bring in their family stories and this, that and the other. So it's promoting the heritage in the south.
And do you get any public money?
Well, what we did was, I don't know, the Portland commissioners were brilliant. They actually gave us a lease on the old bus shelter because we weren't quite sure what was going to happen with it. And we said, well, we'll take it over because we've got a lot of material that we need to store. And I say they very kindly have given us a very long lease, really, you know, cheap lease on it. But we are a registered charity. So we've applied for grants and we've actually converted it into a little exhibition area, plus a store, plus, you know, a little kitchenette. So if nobody's seen our little heritage centre in Brideston Street, come on down because we're still putting little exhibitions in every 4 weeks and it's all local history.
And I think, have you got something coming up at the Erin Arts Centre as well?
Well, we have done. I mean, we're always involved in things. I mean, about 4 or 5 weeks ago, there was 40-odd relatives of internees came over. They stayed in Douglas, but they had a whirlwind tour of Nocalo. They came down to Port Erin to see where all the internees were billeted, you know, and all the hotels and guest houses, Port Erin, Port Samaria. And, of course, we were involved. So we went with them on the tour, and they came to our little centre, etc., that sort of thing.
And but, how interesting that you know, there's nowhere else in the world that that could be, that, you know, the internment. Who would have thought you could make a tourist attraction out of an internment centre, for heaven's sake?
What it was is Alf Cannon actually unveiled a plaque at the sea terminal, because what they wanted to do, they were all the relatives. It's not one of the tourist thing. It was like a memorial, plus they wanted to see where their relatives were interned, you know. So Alf unveiled this plaque, and it was a plaque really from the families to say, well, we know it was really strange times and circumstances, but our families were reasonably well looked after, and we wanted to say a little thank you. So they put this plaque up. So you'll have to go to the sea terminal and see the plaque.
But, well,
as personally and as a local, I am terribly disappointed in our, you know, government, the way they let our heritage go.
And I think the point needs to be made, Ali, in that, and obviously, Charles Gard, who made the video, I mean, Charles was originally going to come on this Thursday. Charles isn't coming on Thursday because, and I'll say this as a friend of Charles, he doesn't want his motives to be misunderstood.
No.
And I think they're in danger of being misunderstood. Charles wanted to make a very serious point about our heritage, which belongs to everybody, and the fact that it's deteriorating. Now, that has been perceived by some people as personal criticism, and it's not.
No, because you and I know... Well, we know Charles briefly because he does talks for us, like you said, at the Erin Arts Centre. And you know, through Russian Heritage Trust, he'll come down and do a talk for us, which is brilliant. His motives are purely for his love of the island. He doesn't want people to come and see. It's like me. I'm proud of it, and I love to sit up on the hedge at Craiglabar. You know, people are saying, "Oh, it's brilliant." You know, I love this, and I said, "Well, this is our little island that we're very proud of." You know, but it does hurt when you see all these things being destroyed, knocked down with no thought, because, to be perfectly honest, it's probably people who really don't care about it. But Charles's motives are purely, he's saying, please, will you do something about it? Because I normally promote the island as a beautiful place, but I'm disappointed to see these, and I'd like you to do something about it, please.
Okay.
Purely that, you know.
Appreciate that. Appreciate your call, Ali. Thanks for calling today.
All right. Thanks, then. Bye.
All right. 12:30 on Manx Radio. We're talking about, the Sunken Gardens. Juliet called up and just said, why don't they put up railings instead of a wall? This coming Thursday, Douglas Council is going to be on the air. He's an architect as well as being a member of the Green Party. Andrew Bentley is going to be on Man in Line, along with, Andrew Bentley represents East Ward, I think it is, in Douglas, and he's a member of the Environmental Services Committee, a member of the Regeneration and Community Committee, but also as an architect, obviously he's a guy who values design and the lived environment. So it'll be interesting to see. Andrew's always got a lot to say, and he'll be on Thursday, along with, the man who is a multiple volunteer, a community volunteer, Michael Joseph, will be on Thursday as well. Michael volunteers, I think, for the food bank, the co-op, FC Isle of Man. I think he's a steward there. He volunteers for the hockey, very much into men's netball, and also he was involved with the Manx Taxpayers Alliance as well. So two opinionated people, and tune in on Thursday. We'll see exactly what they think. Andrew Bentley also, if you're on Twitter, look for the Cone Ranger of Coney Island. Andrew Bentley's got to think about disused and superfluous traffic cones. Takes photos and posts them on Twitter all the time. It's very interesting. Just put in the Cone Ranger of Coney Island and you'll see. So this Thursday, Councillor Andrew Bentley and the community volunteer Michael Joseph on Man in Line.
These days, we know you can run your business from anywhere, and virtual meetings are fine, but there are times when you need to talk to someone face-to-face, especially when it comes to accountancy services. We also know that the Manx Mile is actually 3 normal miles, and if you live in the north, a trip down south can take all day. So now, Shim & Wilson has opened a satellite office in Ramsey for the convenience of clients in the north of the island. To arrange an appointment in Douglas or Ramsey, contact us online or call Shim & Wilson on 627744.
Oh, not again.
Oh, that Jack from next door really needs to improve his left foot.
Oh, don't worry. A storm did the damage last time, and it was easy to get a greenhouse pane from Manx Glass and Glazing.
Manx Glass and Glazing don't just do the big jobs. Visit them on Snugborough Trading Estate for all your glazing repairs and supplies. From glass tabletops and picture frame glass to greenhouse glazing, along with good old-fashioned customer service and product knowledge.
Manx Glass and Glazing. You're smashing.
For your new bathroom, head to Peace Center, Harris Terrace, Douglas or Spring Valley. In Peacesetter's fully fitted showroom, you'll find the latest bathroom products and designs, from new contemporary styles to traditional Victorian tiles, wall and ceiling panels, accessories and much more. With many ranges exclusive to Peacesetter's, plus professional design advice from the experts, visit Peacesetter Harris Terrace Douglas or Spring Valley.
You can get the best of
After 3 years, road racing is back on the island. And Manx Radio 1368 will be an essential part of it, bringing live practice and race commentary, news, travel and more to the island and the world on AM, online and digital. With airtime, sponsorship and digital advertising options available now, it's your chance to reach a global motorsports audience. So contact our sales team on 682620 or on sales at manxradio.com. Manx Radio 1368, the best biking station in the world.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
That's to my 27 minutes before one. A note in. Paul just said, I saw a road worker at Governor's Dip burning off the newly painted white lines. I don't know what's going on there. And a note in just to say, it's not Claire Wells' fault. It's what she does now that counts. We need action, not excuses, says Tony. So presumably, whether that was sorted out months and months ago, because Claire Wells hasn't been the leader of Douglas Council for that long. Anyway, David's on now. Hi, David.
Hi, Mandy. Just talking about the Governor's Dip. I wonder, is it two-way or just one-way? There's confusion there.
Oh, I see. Dip, yeah.
If you're coming down, if you come across there, last weekend there must have been about 50 bikers over, or maybe more, maybe for a pre before the TT there. And I wonder when they come down the course, as they do, they follow the course, don't they? And then turn into the dip. And I just wonder, because they painted all these lines, and I just think it was confusing. Is it two way or they made it one way?
Right.
Anyway, I was wanting to talk about the insurance claim now. Douglas Corporation, I'm not speaking on behalf of anybody else but myself, would be that, is it an insurance claim? We haven't established yet whether the insurance company, is it covered by them? Because normally what local authorities would do, or government departments do, they would have an assessment on it. And if it was over the value of something to claim for, they'd do it in-house, because otherwise the premium will go out the roof, if you see what I mean.
Right, yeah.
They would do it internally as such. Now, the other issue would be is if they're waiting for the DOI to come up with a scheme for reinforcing the seawall on the outside, you're talking about probably 5 years before. It'd probably take a couple of years in planning, because everybody will want two pennies worth of it, because we've seen some of the nightmares they've designed elsewhere. And the promenade has just become like sea defences in a war.
And if there's an issue with the sea wall, is that why they didn't want the fun fair here this year?
Not quite sure on that. I think it was probably a good decision to call it early. I'm not a fan of the fun fair. I just think it's a money-making scheme, I'm afraid, in my thing. And I don't know how much we got out of it, or how much it gave to the island. And when the lady that says that she wants to go down to the promenade and just sit in the sunken gardens, what are they doing? I just can't believe it. And I just want to spring to the quarter bridge, if I can. Those bags that are on the pavement, that's a clear offence. With the DOI or somebody put them there, they need to be on the property if it's privately owned.
Yeah, well, you're talking about the wall that's collapsed there with the bags by it.
Yeah, when the tree came down.
Yeah.
And I think I'm right on that. It was the DOI that cut the tree up. So I wonder whether the DOI have charged the person who owns the property for doing that, because it's not their responsibility or a government responsibility. You know, the public liability is not within government. It's within the householder. So they'd have an insurance policy on that. And we're only like a couple of weeks away. What's going on there?
Yeah, two weeks.
The final thing,
2 weeks this weekend.
Yeah. The final thing on it would be is if I don't get on Tuesday, Thursday, and I might likely not likely to be, is if you ask the councillor, what right have they had to close the public footpath between Williston Crescent and Watterson Lane? When I walked it, well, I walked, I was 21 years I lived in Williston, right? So I've walked that at least 15 years as a kid. And under the law, you cannot extinguish a public footpath or a highway without advertisement in the public paper. And I know Mr. Krugel said there was a legal matter between it, but what's happening? We're talking about nearly 3-4 months since we raised the issue. Simple things like that need to be done.
Okay. All right. Thanks, David.
Bye.
All right. Appreciate that. Is it too complicated, says John? It's called sand and cement. Place one stone on top of the other with cement in between. Surely this just gets worse. The stone has been kept, said somebody, the anonymous person. The stone apparently... regarding dogs on Douglas Beach, says a texter 005, did you know that Douglas Corporation employ a number of bylaw enforcement officers? So what are they doing? About the dog issue on the beach, says Peter. That's the rule. No dogs on the beach. 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. from May the 1st to the end of September. You can tell TT's coming, says Graham. The price of fuel has shot up. I understand where Jill was coming from with her granddaughter, but couldn't she get a bus up to a park in Douglas or Onken? Be a nice change, perhaps, especially out for the little girl, then play in the park and get the bus back. Probably be free too, says Nikki. But there was a park there. I understand, Nikki. Thanks for the suggestion, but there was a park there. And as it is Mental Health Week, and everybody's talking about mental health awareness, surely there are few places better for mental health than a garden. To sit and contemplate, be with nature, look at the flowers, watch the bees. Well, apart from if you have hay fever, of course, but a garden. And we have sunken gardens. We have gardens all the way along Douglas Promenade, and they're not in the best of order. Mind you, if you look at some of the parks that we have, they're not in the best of order as well. I don't know whether you've been around Derby Square lately or Woodburn Square, just to look at some of those, but they have been better. A note also that Justice says, what's happened to the hanging baskets on Douglas Promenade? They used to be one of the joys of Douglas Promenade, but no hanging baskets yet. A message in from, let's see here, this is Howard's right about the sunken gardens. They should employ him as a supervisor. Well, he did that years and years ago. All the best. Jake said, it sounds like Claire Wells doesn't care. Her words and tone were condescending. Sounds like she's talking to children, not adults. It sounds like she doesn't care, says Jake. Well, let's be generous. Let's say that she does care. Let's say that she's taken the job as the leader of Douglas Council. She is an employed, she is an elected official. So she, you know, she did volunteer for the job. But what is going on with that? Well, we'll find out more from, obviously, in the past, Devon Watson's been on, one of the Douglas councillors. And this Thursday, it is Andrew Bentley. Howard's with us again. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. No, just going back to the gardens and the chap saying about the different parks. But outside your studios, you'll see there's a flag flying on the opposite side, and it's a green flag. And this is a competition throughout the UK for various towns and villages, etc. And Douglas Corporation, for many, many years, have concentrated on nominated areas. Nobles Park, the golf course at Paul Rose, Douglas Head, and two or three of them. They have to nominate these places. But you go up... if you come out of your studio now and walk down towards the quay, where the steps go down through to where the camera obscura is,
up to that point, it's neat and tidy and lovely. And I see they've rotivated it, ready to put wildflowers in. That will all come under the judges for the green flag, which they boast every year, we win it, we win it. But you go the other side of the hedge, where the footpath continues, and it is an utter disgrace. I go up there to voluntary for the camera obscura, and I'm going up this afternoon to cut the grass around the area. And that is what the council are supposed to be doing up there. But I've got to do it myself. But there's a green flag that they want is a feather in the cap, and that's what they're looking for each year, even to the detriment of the rest of the parks. Hutchison Square, I don't know what Derby Square, but Nobles Park certainly, Douglas Head, and a couple of other places, and that is all judged by people that come from across, and they're in pristine condition when these judges come over, and that is why you'll see the rest of the areas sadly neglected, because they put all their eggs in the one basket. So that is what is happening with the green flag. It does not. It gives you the green flag status for Douglas, but it doesn't mean that the whole of Douglas is worth the green flag.
You can give us a bit of perspective on this then, Howard. When you were involved as in horticulture, municipal horticulture years and years ago.
That's correct. I worked for the council.
How serious were the council about the gardens?
When? Then?
Yeah.
That was their pride and joy. We had a boss called Eric Coward, the late Eric Coward, and he was meticulous and he knew his job. He might have been a hard taskmaster, but he knew his job. And those gardens were his pride and joy. And after he retired, I forget who come in afterwards, but there was one chap come in, and I think he came from what we term loosely as the highway board, and that's why you see the rockery area is largely bushes, because they're easy maintenance. You don't have to do anything with them. You just chop them down every year, and up they come again. There's hydrangeas and all bigs. There used to be tens of thousands of plants going in there, and as that lady said earlier on, it wasn't just the colours. It was the scents and the touches. And we used to have people coming down just so they could smell the flowers. And we grew teasels, which are like a big thistle, but they were actually used in industry, in the wool industry. And they could touch them and feel them. And that gave them a sense of calmness. And they could come down and we were up and down those gardens all the time, and you could chat to people, and the people used to come down on a regular basis, same faces, and they would sit there, and they'd be quite content. But I wouldn't want to be sitting down there at the present moment. David, the lad that was the last man that was in there doing the gardens, made an excellent job. On his own he was, basically. But what the council are doing, and they've done into the Villa Marina, they're looking to bring contractors in. Well, they don't have the same dedication. I don't like to compare them, but it is a comparable thing. A gardener is a bit like a nurse, both looking after living things. And if you neglect them, to the detriment of it. So a gardener has to love what he's doing. And you can't bring a contractor in just to cut grass and shove a few plants in. And this is where the council... They worry me at times, and they just don't seem to see what is around them. As the old saying, there's none so blind as those who can't see.
Okay.
And this is what's happened. And the council are busy making grand schemes for all sorts of things, but what we have out there at the moment, and those gardens are, or shall I say, were, past tense, superb. And they should be maintained because people all over the world know them. So I remember those walls being knocked down in 62. And the tide had hardly gone out before they started rebuilding. And they were knocked down two or three times afterwards. But that's the state of the tides. It's an act of God. So I don't know how they can ensure acts of God, because it doesn't actually exist. So where are they getting their claim from the insurance? It's excuses not to do the job. And this is what they're doing. They're trying. they're saying that that one of the things they're saving £25,000 for going to a fortnightly collection. Then they're going to waste money on something else. This is exactly what they're doing. They're running like a dog running after his tail. And the council are, well, I heard her saying it's going to go before half a dozen committees before they even get down to deciding where they're going to build them. It beggars belief. Why is there nobody in the council there able to stand up and say, right, oh, let's get this done. We need it done. Our town needs it done.
Okay. All right, Howard, we appreciate that.
Take care.
13 minutes before one. Jeff on 454 says, bring back David Christian. Well, I don't think he'd want to come back at the moment. And he also said, bring back David Christian. Since he left, everything's falling apart. I do remember chatting to David Christian. He did actually say he didn't want the horse trams. That was his considered opinion. The horse trams had kind of had their days. How did Douglas Council get on with an application for city status? It's gone very quiet, says Paul. Here's a message in, just says, we the Manx people and residents have been misled by certain members in past leaderships. Now we have to listen to drivel about magic wands. We've had 2 years where we can't do anything, says Claire Wells. This is Texter 943. So where's my rate money gone? If they couldn't do anything, the rates steadily go up. Town goes down. Get a grip, Douglas Corpy. An infuriated ratepayer, that's Paul.
Is it time for your next step on the career ladder? A visit to orchardrecruitment.com could be the ideal start. Our fully responsive website enables you to quickly apply for jobs, upload and store your CV, manage job alerts, and chat live with our expert recruiters. Right now, we're looking for people in the technology and professional services sectors. Are you a project manager, business or test analyst, or a tech support expert? Then visit orchardrecruitment.com today. Orchard Recruitment, a refreshing change.
When you need a fitting memorial or headstone for a loved one, contact Manx Memorials in Peel. This long-standing family-run Manx company offer a wide range of granite and marble headstones and memorials, along with an island-wide inscription and renovation service. Manx Memorial's skilled professionals will take the time to help you choose a suitable memorial, and we're proud to say we'll beat other local quotes. Call 843 861 or email matthew at manxmemorials.co.uk.
We're simply the best, better than all the rest. It's true. At Motormall's Mega May Dealathon, we simply refuse to be beaten. We'll better any like-for-like deal on Ireland for any of our nearly 20 brands of new and used cars and motorcycles. With offers like these, why would you go anywhere else? Up to £3,000 off selected new and used cars. Up to £2,500 free finance deposit contribution. Minimum £500 bonus trade-in allowance, 0% finance on selected cars. And all with the best deal guaranteed. Motormall's Mega May Dealathon. On now at Cool Road, Braddon. We're simply the best.
Tune in and chill out with Chris Pearson on Manx Radio.
The Chill Out Show from Manx Radio. Sunday evenings between 7 and 9. A great way to kick back, relax and wind down from your weekend or your workend.
Manx Radio. Chris Pearson, the Sunday Chill Out.
Sundays from 7 till 9.
The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
Fast Minds tend to want loads and loads of comments. Regarding the Sunken Gardens, says Steve, the lady's saying she doesn't want to rush the job and have to do it again. Wasn't that what we were told when they started the prom and defended the promenade work after all the delays? What happened there? They're doing it again already, and they certainly don't rush the job, do they? What you need is someone in charge who knows what needs to be done and whoever is at the top, keeping a daily eye on the work and the workers. Some accountability, surely, says Steve. No magic wand, no backbone, no accountability, no idea. Steve's word. And the irony of the children's play area not being open, the Corpy Health and Safety Officer wasn't going to close the gardens when the wall got knocked down into the park, even with huge stones all over the park, and was going to let the kids carry on. The Corpy lads have had the sense to fence it off. Now the area is cleared of stones, says Alec, and the children aren't allowed back in. Here's a message in. I'm one of the committee. This is Frank. Oh, hi, Councillor Schwengel dropped a note. Frank Schwengel. I'm one of the committee that looks after the sunken gardens and handles the wall repair. It is indeed with the insurance right now. We want it fixed, but sometimes it takes longer due to formalities involved. We care deeply about the town, says Frank. There are many things to be proud of. So let's be more positive, as Councillor Schwengel, who dropped a note into Man in Line today. Thank you, Councillor. Watching Charles Gard's fantastic movie, is there anywhere to sit on the promenade, says Robbie. I also have a note in. Apparently, the Charles Gard video is not the last. There may be others to come. About what's happening around the Isle of Man. I just wonder, what do you think about what... was it Alison who said? It was Jill who said, our visitors do notice. They do notice when things go wrong. So, they, you know, will they notice when they wander up and down the promenade that plastic railings that's rusting from the inside and corrupting from the inside? Do you think they'll notice that, or maybe they'll just look beyond it and have another bag of chips? The Villa Marina is not Douglas Corporation Gardens. It's a private company that does the gardens. It's owned by the government, not the corporation, says this correspondent on 531. I think that's part of it. Not everybody knows who owns what and who does what on the promenade. So it's quite easy if, you know, somebody criticises something on the promenade, for whichever authority gets the criticism, to say, well, it's not us, it's somebody else. That may be the truth, but is that really helpful, I wonder? I can't believe there's no fun fair at TT, says Texter 099. I've got two children. They're absolutely gutted that the fun fair's not coming over this year. Why are children overlooked by the government? All we hear this at the moment is mental health this and mental health that, especially of our children. When we as an island have the opportunity to allow some fun, do you remember fun? For the children of the Isle of Man, they put a stop to it. So that's my two penneth. Point of information regarding the last caller. Villa Marina, including the arcade, is government, not the corpy, says Dave. So I wonder whether the government or the company that's doing the Villa Marina Gardens is going to do something. Villa Gardens, again, says Karen, nothing to do with Douglas Council, it's all government. The brown grass is the government. They gave the contracting garden contract to another company, I think about 10 years ago, says Karen. Big pat on the back. Oh, listening to the programme about Douglas Borough Council, Town Council, a big pat on the back to Ramsey Town Council for keeping the beautiful Murrock Park in such good order, well cared for and bursting with colour. It makes you want to leap into the north and go to the Murrock and wander around and have cups of coffee non-stop. It really looks lovely in this weather. In Belgrade, they go out at 2 a.m. clearing bins of rubbish, sweeping and hosing down the pavements. They don't even make any noise. So why can't it be done over here? Civic pride. Well, I don't want to misjudge anybody's motives. And it's not for me to, you know, to have an opinion or to pass judgment on this. And all our elected representatives volunteered to be an elected representative, whether it's commissioners from a tiny parish, whether it's a town, or whether it's as an MHK. But everybody volunteers to be an elected representative. Some even get in without an election. So you're guessing that their motives are the best, and they want to do the best for the community that they're in. So how do we get past this? How do we get, when something looks pretty scruffy, and I think we'll all agree, Douglas looks pretty scruffy at the moment. And it is the capital of the Isle of Man, and we are going to have tens of thousands of visitors coming for TT. How do we get round this? What do we do? A note in from Texter 692. The trouble with Douglas Corporation is the old staff who had pride in their work have now retired. Young people aren't bothered. A sweeping generalisation, 692. It's just a job, they say. They've also started putting out the new friendly verger signs, which is just an excuse, so they don't have to cut the grass. Let it grow long, dogs use it as a toilet, and rubbish accumulates. The corporation says Texter 692, I think should be given a tow in the rear. Sonia said, I've said it before, I'll keep on saying it. If the corporation and other departments can't look after the Isle of Man, why don't we use people on community service, possibly prisoners? Give well-behaved prisoners the opportunity to shorten their sentence by doing public service, says Sonia. And a message in from another one. This is Alan, who said, you talked ages ago about guerrilla gardeners in London, people who look after their own community and do the gardens themselves. Why don't we do it here? Why don't guerrilla gardeners take over the gardens if the municipal authorities don't want to do it? That's it for Man in Line today.